It used to be that I imagined singing that song to someone else, to a special one, maybe to the one. And today I sing it envisioning myself, my own heart. And the meaning changes, right? Today we're going to continue our conversation about trust. Last week, we heard about trust, and the last time I preached, we left off with what happens when trust is broken. My inspiration have been my teachers, the Buddhist nun Pema Chodron, and also Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. In her book, Things Fall Apart, Pema Chodron writes, "I remember so vividly a day in early spring when my whole reality gave out on me. Although it was before I had any Buddhist teachings, it was what some would call a genuine spiritual experience. It happened when my husband told me he was having an affair. We lived in northern New Mexico. I was standing in front of our adobe house drinking a cup of tea. I heard the car drive up and the door bang shut. Then he walked around the corner and without warning, he told me that he was having an affair and he wanted a divorce. I remember the sky and how huge it was. I remember the sound of the river and the steam rising from my tea. There was no time, no thought. There was nothing, just the light and a profound, limitless stillness. Then I regrouped and picked up a stone and threw it at him." End quote. I guess I resonate a lot with that last part. Yes, I do. From the very first moment that I read this story, I totally resonated with it. It reminded me of my own spiritual experience when my own world fell apart and fear occupied all of the spaces in my heart. It was fear that pulsated through my broken heart, fear of not having anything or anyone to hold on to. The story took me back to a time when I was living a nightmare, the moment I discovered that my partner was cheating on me. I had risked and given up a lot to be with her. I was a late bloomer, coming out in my mid-30s and coming out with a very steep price, being disowned by my family, rejected by close friends, losing my church community, and at that time, risking losing custody of my child. I had just graduated from law school and was scheduled to take the 2-day New York bar exam that same week. It was winter in New York City and bitter cold. On the day of the exam, I remember, after I dropped off my son at daycare, I made my way to the subway station. I was freezing. The wind was hurting my face, was numbing my legs. It hurt to breathe. It hurt to walk. It hurt to think. And I was on my way to take a big test. My biggest fear right there and then was losing my mind and losing my child because of that. I sat through the first part of the exam like a robot. This is not how I imagined it to be. We knew that we were going to be nervous. We had spent months preparing with my study group, quizzing each other, practicing both the multiple choice and the essay questions, nervous but excited about the future before us. But nothing had prepared me for this. The next morning, it was snowing even harder, and as I descended into the subway station, I felt as if I were being swallowed whole. Outside, as I fought against the wind, I felt myself double over as I began to shake and wail uncontrollably. My grief and all the fear I had been suppressing just broke open. I never made it to that second part of the exam, and it would take me 2 years to build up the courage to try again. And it would take me twice that long to trust again, to feel that I was good enough, to feel that I was on this earth to shine, to sing, to grow, and to live a life of love, not fear. I sought help from a therapist who, on my first visit, gave me a copy of Thich Nhat Hanh's The Miracle of Mindfulness. The first lesson that I practiced was wash the dishes, just to wash the dishes, and do it again and again. The book taught me that it's okay to sit with all of my feelings, to allow them to surface, not to judge them. That the point of mindfulness was not to get rid of these feelings, but actually to invite them in for a cup of tea, to sit with me and wash the dishes with me, walk to the bus station with me, make mashed potatoes with me. At first, I could only find peace of mind for a few seconds before thoughts of anger and revenge would take over. Thoughts that told me I was stupid to make such a mistake at my age. Thoughts that told me you should never trust again. I had to keep it together for the sake of my boy, to appear strong and function at home and at work. I was struggling so much because the city became a place full of painful reminders. So I decided to leave New York. I sent out my resume and accepted the very first job offer that came. I went to Rhode Island. Rhode Island was very different from what it is now. It was a strange place. It was a very segregated place. It was not a very friendly space. But somehow, being in that new setting, not knowing anyone, no one knowing me, somehow that became a place where I could just fall apart and come together, and fall apart and come together. It was there that I allowed myself to fall apart and in the process to begin to heal. I gave myself permission to feel all of my feelings, to grieve at my own pace and to reinvent myself. And while I still had to function, the practice of mindfulness took on a more intentional and authentic direction. With the help of the music of Tracy Chapman, James Taylor, Carole King, and Roberta Flack, I let go of illusions. I let go of shame. I let go of guilt, sometimes only for 1 second. But I tried again and again. And as I washed the dishes just to wash the dishes, I became aware of my breath, of my heartbeat. And I gave myself permission to fail at it and start again. I began to make friends, to volunteer in the LGBTQ community, and to spend my time with my son, making our home warm and safe and joyful. Slowly, I began to breathe again without feeling like I had a rock lodged in the middle of my chest. And for those 8 months that I was in Providence, not a coincidence, that name, I practiced washing the dishes, being aware of my breath, inviting fear to sit with me and have a cup of tea, allowing both fear and compassion to fill my heart. Compassion and kindness would lead me to forgiving myself and others, to let go of blame and shame. And by the time I left Rhode Island, the pattern of my dishes was a bit more blurry, but the jagged edges of my broken heart were less sharp, and new patterns had emerged to help me make meaning of all that I had experienced. Having felt the bottom drop into nothingness and having regained a new sense of self through self-compassion and community service, I held on to my experience of falling apart as a spiritual awakening. Chodron says that falling apart is a kind of healing, that things fall apart, come together, then fall apart, and so on. It's just like that. The healing comes from letting there be room for all that is to happen. Room for grief, for relief, for misery, for joy. When there's a big disappointment, she says, we don't know if that's the end of the story. It may just be the beginning of a great adventure. Life, she says, is a good teacher and a good friend. Things are always in transition. We can open our hearts and minds to stay with that shakiness, to stay with a broken heart, with a rumbling stomach, with the feeling of hopelessness. Catching ourselves and being gentle, being compassionate, not hardening into resentment, bitterness, or righteous indignation. The act of catching ourselves is the path of the spiritual warrior. Continually moving forward, practicing loving kindness, beginning with ourselves. For inside us is a love that will not die, a love that heals, that connects us to the suffering of others, which makes it possible for us to discover our own noble heart. Last Tuesday, we celebrated the culmination of our Beloved Conversations workshop series. We had an opportunity to express our gratitude for the time spent together, for having an opportunity to get to know each other better, for learning new ways to encourage us to engage in difficult conversations about race, for creating an intentional space where we could build trust and be brave and risk making mistakes, knowing that we could bring our whole selves, trusting that we could go deep with our fears in our life experiences. Beloved Conversations is another way to practice mindfulness while creating an intentional space to learn and grow together. During Beloved Conversations, we learn to be present, to be mindful of our thoughts, of our words, of our reactions, to reflect and take time to interrogate patterns, to sit with discomfort, to let go of defensiveness and the need to control the conversation, to practice awakening our hearts. Chodron says, we think that by protecting ourselves from suffering, we are being kind to ourselves. The truth is, we only become more fearful, more hardened, and more alienated. End quote. For me, the point of Beloved Conversations is to invite us to feel connected to ourselves and to each other, to cultivate trust in ourselves, in our community, to make possible the gradual, almost imperceptible, telluric shifts of the soul towards kindness, the making of a noble heart, to cultivate awareness so we can catch ourselves. Beloveds, in this community, we get to be intentional about cultivating a space for spiritual awakening. Ours is a shared journey, and the mission of this, our beloved community, is to offer opportunities for individual and collective awakenings that might result in our own liberation. Here, we are able to bring our whole selves, to open up, to share our stories, to grieve, to bring our broken hearts, and to experience kindness, to serve, to heal, to learn, to grow, and to feel loved. Every day, with every breath, we have a choice and a gift. Breathing in, may we breathe in peace. Breathing out, may we breathe out love. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.